this thing. No title again?
Is it rolling, Bob?
Here's my wife's hubcaps, which I'm going to give her for her birthday. Looking for a little stool in the trunk of my car here. Jesus. A little one, where is it? A little one. Fuck. Oh. Guys. Yeah, I got the hubcaps, but just so you know, I also got her, another damn pair of earrings. I don't know. I got no imagination. I'm so useless at gifts that I just didn't want her to wake up Friday without any gifts. So I went back to the town center. I was already in the mall for the dentist. Here's a big fucking swan coming right at me. These fuckers bite too. No, I got nothing for you, buddy. I'm sorry. All right. Bluffers. Yeah, remember Christmas? I spent a ridiculous amount of money, bought her earrings. She didn't like them. I got my refund, and she got herself a bracelet. And I went out and bought another fucking pair of earrings, but these are, it's her birthstone, I guess. It's amethyst, I guess. You know, what is it, that purple or blue one? February. And, I mean, they look really nice, but when I bought the others at Mappin's, they were very clear. You could return them. She doesn't like them, no problem. No questions asked. Full cash refund or full refund on your credit card. The store I went to yesterday, they kind of ganged up. I mean, next thing you got three women showing you stuff. Oh, these are nice. And so on. And I just felt kind of pressured, and I gave in, even though the policy said no cash refunds, exchange and merchandise only. So it means if she doesn't like them, we're stuck with that bloody store. And they sucked me in with, oh, these are really on sale now. And I know bloody well they weren't. Well, whatever, the prices get jacked up, quadrupled, and then they drop them in half. So you're paying more. So I spent more money on damn earrings because I didn't think the hubcaps were enough. And now I'm thinking, what an idiot I am. But anyway, I just struggle with this. She deserves so much more. But I did what I could do. It's Thursday afternoon. No, Wednesday afternoon. I finished teaching. I've ducked out. And I've been holding off podcasting all week. God, it's lively here today at Bluffers, I tell you. The ducks and the geese are in an uproar. Here we go. Got a little bench now. Oh. Yeah, I think one of the things you know very well is that whatever time of day of the week I start podcasting you sort of determines the message. So what you get now is going to be completely different from if I had podcast yesterday. In fact, yesterday was my day off, my usual day. And I came here and I was just so goddamn tired. I just dozed and didn't feel like talking to you. Didn't feel like podcasting, didn't feel like sharing any thoughts. So, today, because the sun is out now, I came back, and here we go, Dixon Jeans number 387, I think. Oh, yeah. Everything's going well, in general, in my life. Thanks for asking. I guess I have one topic right off the bat. I worry. I don't want this podcast to ever turn into an anti-Islamic rant, or really an anti-anything rant. But I know that does come up a lot, and I think the more I'm sort of told to shut up, or the more I feel in pressured into defending free speech, you know, the more I get sucked in and have to speak up. And it's as if the enemies of yesterday, the communists, you know, which was the traditional enemy I grew up with, you know, and even though I didn't buy it then, I was able to see the other side. What we seem to be being fed now is the Islamists, which I mentioned on many, too many podcasts. And the problem is, there is a problem with free speech in the Islamic world. People are shot down. You cannot abandon the religion. Once you are a Muslim, you cannot give that religion up. And this is not just Western propaganda. It's just a fact. You can't. You can be killed for it. Jailed at the very least. Freedom of speech, anybody who insults the Prophet, praise be upon him, Muhammad, is in danger. Their lives are in danger. And we've had people killed already in Scandinavia, and it's only a handful of the fanatics, but they're the ones that scare everybody else into submission. They're the ones that hold the power. They're the ones who go out with the knives and the axes and the guns and the crowbars and are demanding. There's a number of people in Scandinavia who are living under police protection for daring to publish things that might be deemed anti-Islamic. And I don't know if it sounds like, dude, why are you even bothering with this? It's not important. It doesn't really impact your life. Well, the more I talk on this podcast, the more I talk about what a small world it is, how we have become more and more interconnected. I mean, my daily job is proof of that. I mean, I teach students from all over the world. I feel connected to people all over, and I've traveled all over. So I feel it's we are of this world. We don't live in isolation. I'm long past that point of ever living in an isolated world. You know, maybe there are some people who think they can live within their gated communities and shut out the rest of the evils of whoever they happen to be, but not me. And my children are going out, have gone out into this big wide world. And I just feel it's really, really important to stand up for things you feel strongly about. And there is a fucking amount of bullying that goes on with this goddamn religion. And I say goddamn religion because fuck God, there is none. I say that. Sound like a bully, don't I? Sorry. Maybe there is one. And those of you who believe there is a God, as long as you don't believe in kind of a stupid Old Testament God who interferes in the lives of men and rains terror down upon mankind for the evils that it does. If you have that vision of a God, well, I'm sorry, you're stupid, ignorant, backwards, primitive, and dumb. And I only hope, at the very least, your grandchildren outgrow your stupid, suspicious, superstitious nature. Okay? Put that aside. If you believe in some great guiding heavenly spirit that nobody can touch, that's really more like a cosmic consciousness that somehow exists in space, a mind independent of body or some other cosmic new age shit, well, that's cool, that's fun, that's neat. As long as you don't have to bow down to it 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 times a day or follow whoever you believe is the prophet in that man's name, because this religion, this so-called religion of peace, doesn't look to me like a whole bunch of peace. I see the Christian churches in Nigeria being burned, and I see things happening all over the world in the name of this religion. And you say, yeah, well, yeah, look at your own history, dude. What about the Spanish Inquisition? What about all the other things? Yes, 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 in the past, all kinds of things have been done in the name of Christianity, and it has been just as primitive and just as stupid, but I really like to think that we, if I can say we, have outgrown that and we've moved on, and that there are people now in the 21st century who are relatively educated, like myself, we've had a chance to think about life without fear. We've had a chance to form our own opinions and make our own beliefs and question things that have been passed on to us and make probably informed judgments. So let's park that, okay? It's just that I know I read more than I should read. It's just that I can't let it go. I'm caught in this battle of sort of a forcing, you know, one voice is can't, don't even bother talking about that shit. Another voice saying, you know, you're being tricked into talking about that stuff. And another voice saying, hey, either way, it's happening. It's real. Wars are being waged in the name of religion. And fuck all goddamn stupid religions. I was going to throw in cocksucking religions, but that doesn't really make sense, does it? It's just a lot of anger and frustration in me of a stupidity of mankind. And the way stupidity rears its ugly head the most seems to be in the form of religion and obedience. Yeah. God, now what? How do I turn this into a nice day? How do I sort of put that behind us? Maybe I'll just take a little walk. How about that, okay? It's really nice. It's sunny, and I need the fucking exercise. I talked on previous podcasts about not seeming to be capable of making change in my life, wholesome change, and it's... Sometimes I get this idea, what if my wife died? What if she died before me, and suddenly I realize all the things that she did, the gardening, the cooking, the cleaning, but, you know, the creativity and all the things she has that I should have learned more from that I haven't. What would I do? Would I just be saying, oh my gosh. It's a terrible thought, so we're going to put that one aside too. I will definitely die before her. She's 14 years younger than me and looks after herself, and I don't. I'm standing at a picnic table. What's left of it? There are two benches, and then there, you know how they have three great big long 8-10 foot planks. All three are burned out completely. Some asshole, some fucking stupid goddamn prick, and I don't think it's a homeless person, I think it's just a bunch of yahoos, came down, decided they wanted to have a fire on the beach. Here's the fire right here, right next to it. They pulled another picnic table over so they could sit here and have a fire. And they've completely destroyed a picnic table. You know what? Cost aside, God damn it, guys. I can understand wanting to build a fire on the edge of the lake in the middle of winter. Yeah, and be cool. And sitting here drinking, smoking joints. Yeah, I can see it. But did you really have to fucking burn a picnic table to do it? I guess it's all, you know, here I am, I'm condemning a religion for its rules and regulations. Really, that's what I'm coming down to. Anything that tells people how to behave. And yet there's a part of me that would make the perfect Nazi, the perfect fascist. Not Nazi, fascist. Because I want people to follow the rules. And those guys who burn the goddamn picnic table, I want them caught and punished. I want them to pay the cost somehow. And I don't just mean easy community service, like fucking, all right, guys, up early in the morning, bam, you are cleaning up litter, you're just doing a whole lot of worthwhile community service, under guard, and maybe some, I don't know, re-education camps or something. Boot camps, yeah, okay, not these great big prisons where you lock down and so on, but a boot camp, like in the military run, you know, send them up to Borden, Camp Borden, make use of our Canadian military, turn the soldiers over, you know, turn them over to the soldiers. Not brutality, just bam, guys, up at 5, this is what you get to eat, now here, you're going to fucking put this pack on and you're going to run through the woods. You're going to do all this shit, like really, there are rules of civilized behavior. And I guess that's the problem, you see, is I'm saying my rules are the right rules. You don't burn picnic tables. You don't punch people. You don't steal from people. You don't, I don't know, make the list. You know, somebody else is saying, yeah, well, we got the same thing, only our rules are you don't steal because you could lose your hand if you did. And you don't do this, and you pray 5 times a day. And in their minds, those are perfectly reasonable. And if everybody followed those rules, maybe it would be a better world. So, you know, am I just contradicting myself? What is it that I don't like about Islam, per se, you know? And is it the same thing that I didn't like about going to church? Is there a hypocrisy? I see more hypocrisy, certainly in Christianity. I knew that from the time I was a kid. The people who go into church are the ones who just, they're just so damn self-righteous, and they're really not practicing what Christ would have taught, you know? Don't shame the prostitutes and the poor, and maybe here is my problem, boys and girls, and I'm going to admit it, and man, maybe I'm so far off the mark that I need somebody to educate me. I just think if you're going to look at role models, it strikes me that Christ was actually a pretty good role model, if we can, because I'm not talking Old Testament here, I'm talking New Testament, I'm talking about this person who said, turn the other cheek and love your enemies and forgive people and all those things. I'm not talking about rising from the dead. I'm talking about this message that somehow we've pulled out. And the ultimate message of Christianity is a beautiful one. And it's I've never found fault with that. It's the whole hocus pocus of this Old Testament God that I totally reject, which means throw out Islam and Judaism and maybe fundamental Christians, I don't know, who all buys into this. But perhaps it's my ignorance. I just haven't heard the same message of love through the prophet Muhammad. And maybe I just gotta start studying, and maybe everything he did say was about peace and love and kindness. And that the people who screwed it up are the people who've misinterpreted his words. I don't really fully buy that, but I'm trying to find out in case I'm wrong somewhere on this. Gee, we seem to be back on the same topic, don't we, as I stand here at the foot of Lake Ontario watching the geese and the swans and the ducks. I seem to have come back full circle, but I guess I just can't let that go today. There are people living in fear of their lives because other people, in the name of their religion, are want to kill them for insulting their beloved prophet, peace be upon him, Muhammad. I don't know. I just don't want this thing to eat me up, and I'm embarrassed to be even going on. Although I don't hear a lot of other people talking about it, and I bet you there's a lot of you out there who have similar feelings to what I have. But I just don't want to sound like an ignorant person or a bigoted person or a racially, religiously insensitive person. I guess I'm confused. I'm just getting old and having a harder time dealing with issues. I like to think that's not really the case, that I'm actually continuing to learn and be more open-minded as time rolls on, but maybe my words betray me. God damn. 18 minutes. I gotta end on a better note. I gotta stop here. I gotta find a way to get myself out of this thing. Or maybe that's all we got for today. You know, any of you, could anybody else out there enlighten me a little more? Am I just barking up the wrong tree? Am I being manipulated by the media? What is the significance of those two jet airliners crashing into the Twin Towers? Was it an attack on Western civilization? Or was it an attack on capitalism? What was the meaning of that? And don't fucking tell me it was an inside job. The Americans did it, or the Jews were behind it, or anything else. Sorry. That's not the right answer. What is the importance of that? What is the meaning? What is the value? What do we learn? How do we go forward? What is this 21st century going to be? Remember at the end of my last episode, when I'm listening to Terrence McKenna, and he's talking about hope for a better world of mankind leaving these monkey bodies. And I don't think everybody's quite on that page yet. So, boys, girls, damn it, damn it, damn it. I'm sorry, but that seems to have been how how I choose to spend this first 20 minutes with you of this podcast. Forgive me, my sins. Praise be to God. God, give me an answer now. God out there. I'm looking up at the big blue sky. God, pay attention. Would you? There's a little human down on this planet Earth that's really wondering what it's all about. What are we supposed to do? I know we're very small and unimportant. But I know you're not listening. I know you're not out there, God. There's only my Dixon Jeans listeners. But you know what? 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 I'm not there yet, but I can get a glimpse of it. Like, I can just sort of peek around the corner and see that we really are connected. My words to you right now, you who are listening, we are connected. Seriously, we really are. We are, I was going to say one, and I know that's a little confusing, but there is a connection rising within the human spirit, and I think in time together, maybe our minds will unite and we will reach a higher state of consciousness as a species. And maybe some of us, as Terence McKenna was saying, some of us have to go first and lead the others. And I think there's a whole lot of people out there holding us all back because they're not ready for this ride just yet. So you, the Dixon Jeans listeners, I think you're among the chosen. You're amongst the enlightened ones. I know you're struggling just as hard as I am to make sense of all this and to be a better person and live in a better world and make it better for our children. And I guess ultimately that's what we have to be doing. Oh my God, thank you. You see, I called out to this God and God helped me. Me, yeah. That God I claim to know doesn't exist did fill my heart with a little bit of quiet and calmness just then, and I'm smiling largely now and feeling a lot better, and I kind of needed that. So forgive that rant and that bitterness and that vile that I spit out earlier. I've moved on from that. The swans are sitting in the ice-cold water grooming themselves right now, and I'm on the edge of Lake Ontario, and it's all very, very beautiful and peaceful, and I'm very blessed to be living at this time in this place. Thank you.
Recording as much as possible, essentially, turning it, the title that I thought of, or the the conference idea that I thought of is kind of the idea of vox populi, the idea of the voice of the people.
Right. So let's, that's actually a great idea. That's a great name.
Yeah. So let's bring people in, hear some stories, and share it with them, and essentially make it like a kind of like the grassroots version of TED,
which has just moved to Vancouver,
right?
Yeah.
The grassroots version of TED, whereby instead
which is funny because TED was kind of grassroots initially. Well, at least it appeared that way.
Instead of listening to, you know, very notable or, you know, incredibly popular or intelligent people talk about these highfalutin things, why don't we just hear people talking about everyday stuff that they want to talk about? And guess what? We'll turn it into highfalutin in our heads. We will make the connections.
Right, right. You know, actually, this brings another point, which I know it goes off on a little bit of a tangent. But
okay, well, we're going
to tune it out there.
What do
you think TED moving to Vancouver means for
TEDx? Move it out there. I would just want to leave that with you. Thank you. That was, of course, Anthony Marco on yet another fucking podcast. Jesus. One I never miss. Talking is Dead. With Mike out on the West Coast. Mike, who attended PAB and used to be on, you know, the other, the tech show they do. Anyway, it's kind of neat. It's just a conversation between two old friends. And I really like, I honestly, I got to say right here and right now, Anthony Marco is the greatest. I'm amazed that he can put out so many different podcasts and they all have a different flavor. They're all a very different style. And he's got amazing background images for them. Each one is different. It's a unique brand, if I can use that word. Introductory theme songs. This is, you know, like best episode ever. Talking is Dead. That other one whose name I can't remember, you know, and I'm Discultured, of course. And then his very own Love Hate Things. And, you know, all the others that he's involved in. He just does an amazing job. So there's a guy you want to listen to. And there's a guy the Canadian podcasting community is very lucky to have as our own. And Anthony, I'm sure he'll forgive me for lifting this. Because basically the idea was to share this idea at PodCamp Toronto coming up in a couple of weeks. Of what are we going to do to replace PAB? And Anthony talked about this movable feast, and I'm all in favor of that. Because I have this strong desire to see a podcasting-type event in Windsor, Ontario. I love Windsor. And with two great people down there, Shane and Tom, and with Tom in the fall, in September, already doing Fogfest. This will be Fogfest 5 coming up, which is a huge event of live bands. It seems a perfect coupling for a gathering of podcasts. It doesn't matter how many, but people could come from Detroit, people from anywhere from Toronto. You just hop on that train and get down there for a weekend and enjoy the music if you're into the music, or set a space aside and inside the bar while the bands are playing outside for podcasting talks and then just party like hell. So I would push that. Now, this is timely. I came here. I'm at Bluffers Park. It's the Saturday after the storm. Bright, sunny, stunningly beautiful outside. We had the biggest snowfall we've had in years last night. You couldn't go anywhere. My wife and I got partway down the street. It was her birthday, and we wanted to get to see Les Mis, and cars were spinning and stuck, and I thought, no, we're not going to do it. So it was a Swiss chalet at home. But now it's gorgeous. I'm on my way to my office. One little aside, okay? Because, man, I got a head that is so fucking full, I don't know how I'm ever going to unload it in the space of this podcast. My feet are fucking freezing. I've got a pair of boots on. I got two pairs of winter boots. Really good. They were good winter boots, you know, with linings and so on. That when my other son was here and he used to go out more often in the winter, number two son tends to hibernate. Like, he was in bed when I left. But I needed him to shovel out the driveway yesterday. So I said, look, here is a pair of boots. It doesn't matter what they look like. Put these boots on, an extra pair of socks, and get out there and shovel. And he did. So today, I left those boots for him on the off chance, which is so unlikely that he'll actually venture outside today. And instead, I took the boots that are cold, that are worn down, that have a hole in the bottom, and that just don't give the insulation and warmth they do, because he's my son, and I want him to have the better pair of boots just in case. And that's simply the kind of thing that fathers do. I'm always talking about Brian being so unselfish and making me look like a selfish person. Well, I left two fresh buns on the table left over from the Swiss Chalet. I left half my chicken breast in the fridge so that my number two son could make a really nice little mayonnaise and chicken sandwich, or my wife could make it for him. Now, you might say, well, you're just spoiling him. Well, no, it's just the kind of thing you do without thinking. I mean, obviously, I'm thinking about it because I'm telling you about it, but I'm telling you about it because so often I think I'm just selfish and greedy and, you know, only think of me, that I'm realizing, no, wait, hang on. Your fucking feet are freezing because you thought your son might need a warmer pair of boots on the off chance he went outside. All right, put that aside. I'm getting into this because so often on this podcast, you hear me bragging about what a great life I've led. Fuck, am I ever glad I did all the things I did. Holy fuck, I'm in a great place now. Isn't that an awful laugh? I can't help it. I don't have a natural laugh. That cackle of some weird animal from the barnyard comes out. Anyway, forgive me. I've got a lot of knots to untie here. And one of the knots is that I'm not feeling so good about my life right now. And I suspect, well, there's a restlessness there, and there's a sense of, you know, when you reach a plateau and, oh, everything's good, I got a job, I got a house, got these cars that both my wife and I like, and you know, the material comforts and new computers, I got all the material shit I'll ever need. Well, no, until the next time, 3 years down the road. But anyway, you know what I mean, eh? I got a lot of shit, and I'm living a comfortable life, and suddenly, maybe I'm getting to the point where I'm starting to realize that's not so comfortable. I think it came to me last night, because last night I sat in front of the TV all day. Now, you remember a year ago when I bought that dirty big widescreen TV, I said, this is going to be the death of me. Excuse me. This is going to kill me, because I'm going to park myself in the recliner in front of that goddamn TV and going to watch whatever shit comes on. Last night I dragged myself through a very long film called Wilson, but Woodrow Wilson dragging America into World War II reluctantly. World War I reluctantly. It wasn't interesting. Now, I watch TV with my iPad on my lap, and I surf continuously, zit with a finger, going through my Facebook news section to see who's posted what, and read them. And some I save for my classes, and some I just comment on. It's an addiction. And then I go to Twitter and see, and there's not much business on Twitter, but boy, if my name comes up, if somebody mentions Scarborough, dude, in there pretty fast. But just, it's so self-indulgent. It is such a time waster. I gave up Candy Crush, by the way. I think I told you that. Cold turkey, bam, finished. Refused to have anything more to do with it. I'm also addicted to just, you know, the stupid solitaire game I'll just play. When the movie's boring, I'll play solitaire. The upshot is I'm wasting my fucking life. I'm wasting day after day. Now, it was, you couldn't go outside. But remember, just a month ago, before Christmas, I bought this wonderful little turntable that could discify all my old vinyl LPs. I made that word up, discify. It kind of just came out. I kind of like it, discify. Anyway, I haven't used it since. I think I did one record. I just couldn't drag my ass out of that chair to go downstairs to boot up a computer and dig through some old vinyl. Well, Jesus Christ, man, are you dying or what? And I think this idea that my 65th birthday is coming up on me this April is psychological. I think it's taking its toll. I think it's just, holy fuck, man, are you really going out to pasture or what? I've already decided I'm giving up Canada-Japan Society. That's it. They don't know it yet, but I'm that's firm. Bam. I'm done. I've been on that board of directors for 15 years. Bam, finished. Somebody else take it over. I'm not going to go out without passing on words of wisdom and offering to be there for support if and when necessary. But and certainly advise the new president, whoever it is, privately. But I'm done. And I think I'm going to give up these little mediations of the kids who get caught selling weed at school or stealing from Walmart and all that shit, because I've just done enough of them. There's a sense that I need a change in my life. And I talked about, you know, jokingly, oh, my wife does the gardening, does the cooking. I don't seem capable. And this is really starting to eat at me. I don't seem capable of making a change, of making things happen. Now, for example, this Pod Camp Windsor, it's not going to be Pod Camp. What do we call them? We had a name for them. Well, you know, whatever Anthony just came up with, or whatever you want to call it, doesn't matter. But a gathering, an event in Windsor. Well, and really, Shane and Tom have to be the ones to do it, but I've got to be the one to convince them, hey, guys, this is a fucking opportunity. Don't fucking blow it. Windsor needs us. You got such cool friends. Windsor is the coolest city. It's full of artsy people who would love this thing. It's got to happen. But there's a part of me that says, yeah, well, okay. I don't always complete things. I get ideas and I don't follow through. Now, it shouldn't rest on my shoulders to complete this. I should be the one to be able to put the bug in the ear and have other people do it. Or not. But I think if it doesn't happen, there'll be a sense of failure on my part that I didn't get it to happen. It's the same with Joey Taylor and the Voyager guitar, Six String Nation, that I'm saying I've got to get a piece of fabric representing Japanese-Canadian history into that guitar case. Well, I've moved a little closer on that, but I could let it die, fade away, not happen. And there's all kinds of things, right? I guess, worst of all, I mean, aside from the leaky taps and, you know, leak in the basement at my house, we have an empty room where I had my office moved. It's empty. Nothing. There's not a stick of furniture. There's nothing. It needs painting. It needs carpet torn up. It needs the floor redone. It needs to be converted into a guest room. Well, fuck, winter's a great time to do that. Nothing's happening, and I can't seem to get the motivation. And my son certainly doesn't have it, number two son. My wife is just tired afterwards. She's not going to be the one to do it. It's got to be me. Because part of me is thinking, why don't we just sell the fucking house and move and start a new life somewhere? Well, that's rash and drastic. Why would I fucking give up this perfect location near the GO train, zip downtown Toronto, 20 minutes, near the Kennedy subway station, zip whenever you want to get to in Toronto. Near Bluffers Park, 8 minutes away. Fuck! Don't goddamn move! You got a beautiful, quiet street and a beautiful property. Fix the fucking house up! It's not falling apart. I've got new shingles, new roof, new eaves troughs, new bathroom. You know, I'm doing something. Do some more, for Christ's sake, man! Get off your fucking ass, and I'm afraid that as I get older, I'm starting to fade and getting lazier, and it's getting harder to do things. And that just fucking comes with age, and goddamn, you gotta fight that battle. And it's eating at me. It's eating at me. It's eating at me. Can I overcome this inertia? Can I get myself off my fucking ass and turn off that goddamn television? Jesus Christ, it's nothing but shit. You don't need all that crap. Speaking of which, should get into the news. So, look, I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to package this piece up, and I'm going to do another podcast, another piece, because I'm going to finish this. Because I have to, because I want to, because I need to. The one thing that's holding me together, for Christ's sake, is putting out a one-hour podcast every goddamn fucking week. Without fail. It's the one thing that seems to hold my whole life together. How can that be? And maybe, is this a symptom of the disease? Is this the problem? I don't know. I don't think so. I keep telling myself, no, this is a good thing. This is a good thing. This is the right thing you're doing. You need to vent, man. How else can you deal with these inner struggles? And share them. Share away, because other people will pick up, oh yeah, sometimes I feel like that too. Yeah, sometimes I veg out. And, you know, people can relate to what I hope is my honesty, my sincerity, my inner analysis, and sort of say, yeah, me too. Thank you for sharing, dude. That's what I want. And I hope sometime in the future, if it's ever another generation somehow connected to me, biologically or otherwise, that somebody's listening in the future and thinking, oh, fuck, you know, it's kind of interesting listening to that old fart. He's a hit on random. The guy's put out 500 fucking podcasts. Just listen to anyone at random and see what he has to say if you need to blow an hour. So I guess we'll stop there. I love the idea, and I love the fact that Anthony is also doing that. And maybe I'm not alone in being caught up in this inertia and getting things moving. I guess the other thing that's bugging me just a little bit is PodCamp Toronto in 2 weeks. And there's a part of me figures I want to speak up because there's just so much how to make, you know, social media work for you and your business. There's such a business focus and slant to this thing of youngsters getting this. And it just, I posted a nasty tweet. Holy fuck, this is making me sick. And thank God Anthony Marco is doing a presentation or two, and it'll talk about the artsy creative side of things. And I feel morally obliged to hold up that banner, but I really don't feel I have anything to say. I've done my stuff. Maybe it's just one more example of not being able to get my shit together to say, hey, man, come on, what does it take to put together a 20-minute presentation on the value of podcasting, what it means, and the little people and the amateurness and raise that flag. And the thing is, I wouldn't want it to be against somebody else that's speaking, and there's all kinds of other sessions I'd probably rather attend. So part of me is just saying, no, let go, let go, let go, let go, let go. You don't have to, dude. You do your bit on this podcast. You pimp other shows. By the way, Adam Greatrix is back. He just put out an episode of Suburban Transpondency. It was great. I listened to it, you know, on my radio, and it just didn't work. And then I started over again, put in the earbuds, and then it was good. And you get two Adams, sort of different channels coming at you, and background traffic noises. He's talking about his own inner analysis of why it's been a year since he's a month or so since he's podcast, and what is the value of all this, and what is the meaning of his life. And it was good to hear him again. Another great, great, great Canadian amateur podcast, a true artist. So I think I do my bit on this show, and that's enough. And if I meet people at PodCamp Toronto, I'll say, hey, fucking listen to my goddamn show sometime, asshole. What, you don't know what you want? You want to learn technology? You want to learn how to do all this shit? Good. I don't fucking want you for a listener, jerk, asshole. Live a miserable fucking life. But you cool people. Ooh, I want you. So we'll see. I intend to go there and get drunk, get stoned, get high, and talk a lot. Hopefully listen to. But that's PodCamp Toronto coming up. All right, 18 minutes. Stopping this now, and there's a very good chance I'll either record. Ooh, shit, I gotta, well, what is now? Fuck, 11:50. No, I gotta go to my office now, and I'll finish this baby later, okay? Maybe on the way home. Talk to you later. Thank you for listening. You've been great. Well, have you been? I don't know. I hope you are. Thank you, thank you, thank you. All you listeners out there who I know are out there who I know listen on a regular basis, including fucking talk about a guy who changed his life, took his life by the balls. Took his life by the balls? Can you do that? Took life by the balls. Yeah, not his life by the balls. No. Took, got hold of his balls and yanked his family across the country to fucking Washington State. I'm talking about our good friend, the Rickster. Holy shit. Talk about a life-changing experience. There is a man I admire. There is a guy I respect. There is a man's man to start with. It's a Green Hat podcast, if and when he ever puts out another one. Been a rock holder, by the way, so there's a nice connection there. I've stayed at his house and met his family, and I am deeply honored that he would allow me into his life. And that's just a man who, you know, I know it sounds like, oh, why are you doing all this, dude? Because I really am thrilled about how podcasting has enriched my life through the people I've met. Okay? That fucking simple. And if you don't get that message, maybe that's the message I want to give to people. Podcasting can enrich your life. It's not about your fucking rate of return or how many more clients you're going to get. Well, it is if that's your business. But Jesus Christ, there's so much more. There's people and we need people. And my God, I haven't even got to the news section yet. Maybe you've had enough of that. Shit, 20 minutes now. All right. Fading out, and I'll catch you on the last leg. Bye for now. Here. I'm going to keep this clip short, I hope. I'm in my office. It's kind of echoey. It's fucking cold. I did just enough marking to sort of justify driving all the way out here. Now I'm going to go home and get warm, cozy, have a drink, and maybe finish some off. I wanted to tie up some loose ends. I know it sounds like I just have it in for my least favorite religion. I think about this a lot because I'm trying to be a tolerant and broad-minded and understanding individual. And sometimes in this world that gets hard, I think often people like to think, well, there's two sides to everything. And I'm of the mind that sometimes there are two sides to a story, and sometimes one group or way of thinking is clearly wrong. Take, for instance, Papua New Guinea just this week tortured and burned alive a 20-year-old woman because they believed she was a witch. So they branded her with hot irons and then doused her in kerosene and set her on fire. Now, I'm sorry to share that with you, but it's real. It happened. And basically what I'm angry about is ignorance. And it's the unfortunate fact is that so many religions, including our own, Christianity and Roman Catholicism up until recently, are better served in their interest when people are kept ignorant and in a state of obedience. And that's what frightens me about any religion. When you're just taught by some possibly ignorant person, these are the rules, you obey or else. This is how they work. The only hope for mankind's future on this evolutionary path we're on is to think. It's like, again, Timothy Leary, think for yourself, challenge authority. So this witch who was burned, they cannot get any witnesses to come forward. Now, perhaps out of fear, you know, that what if the people, you know, in that village who are responsible turn on them if they squeal to the police who did it, and it'll just get swept away. I guess the other thing is there's a campaign in both Pakistan and Nigeria and Afghanistan, the three countries that still have polio, that's almost been eradicated worldwide through just dedicated doctors and worldwide health organizations. And yet, there's a campaign now by certain factions in Pakistan and Nigeria to kill people because it represents evil, it represents Western science, anti-polio crusades, deadly cost. So it's just, you cannot sit by, you cannot be forgiving, you cannot be patient, you cannot accept that there's another side to it. In Nigeria, there is a group called, Boko Haram, I believe, Boko Haram, and it roughly means Western education is sinful. I've mentioned them before. They are just stirring up a shit in Nigeria just to kill people, to burn them, to burn down churches, anything that represents Christianity or the Western world, which, you know, their mind is sort of the same, oddly. Do them in. And so here they are. They've just gone and killed on Friday, gunmen in northern Nigeria, open fire on polio vaccination workers, leaving at least 9 women dead. Now, these are women who want to save children. These are people who just want to help, do something that's right. I won't waste any more time on it. But again, you know, I've got another clipping. Extremists threaten harmony in Nigeria. And I guess for a lot of people, this is just distant news. But for me, because I lived in Nigeria and got to know the average person, lived with the people, you know, it's very upsetting. I feel like I know who are being hurt and suffering and living in fear and being killed. The little people, as always. And the people causing the brutality are just ignorant. The thing in Papua New Guinea, you think, how are we possibly living in the same time zone, or, you know, in the same year in this period in history? How can there be so many dark places on the earth where ignorance reigns, where women are beaten or have acid thrown in their face? How can this be? And again, I just keep going back to the same thing. We are no longer separated. That stage, that stage is finished. We are not fragmented parts of reality. We are one. So what do you do? Do you march off to war? What do you do? To bring harmony? To open eyes? It just seems so hard. And sometimes it just brings out this feeling in me. Again, I've confessed to it. I just want to kill those stupid, wrong-headed people, which is stupid and wrong-headed. But okay, that's all. I just wanted to tidy up that mess, and I've just made a further mess of it all. But I am frustrated, saddened, and I don't know, I guess not fearful, but because, I mean, the light will shine. Education, enlightenment will win in the end. It's just that it's a whole bloody big battle. Okay, I gotta go. I gotta leave this office. I gotta go. I'm gonna be more productive. Talk to you later. Thanks for listening. Bye. And we're back. This is the closing segment. We've only got 5 minutes. Listen, I haven't chosen the music yet, so forgive me if this episode runs longer than a minute over the 60-minute mark. My bad. I'm having a harder and harder time finding music to go with each episode because I never remember what I talk about in the clips, and I always used to try and find music that went with the theme. So, for example, I found a song by the Birds. I wanted the Birds because they represented the 60s and the freaks, in contrast to these traditional religions. And I found a song called 100 Years From Now. And I thought, well, that's perfect, because I mentioned 100 years in that first clip. But I didn't like the song, so bam, that goes out the window. Now I'm left with nothing. Anyway, boom, there goes a minute. I want to say, just for the record, if my son knew that I intentionally left him the good boots and took the boots with the hole in them and resulting in the cold feet I had yesterday, he would have been very upset and said, Dad, don't do that, you know? So I'm not doing these things because my son is spoiled. I'm doing these things because sometimes a father does stupid things. And now, in retrospect, next time I take the warm boots, that's that. Glad he ate the chicken sandwiches my wife made for him with my leftover chicken breast. But then my wife gave me most of the chicken anyway, so was it really mine to start with? And so on. Tidy that up. Nigeria. 3 Korean doctors, throat slit, one with his head cut off, the women cowering, hiding in the bushes outside. These are doctors come there to help and, you know, contribute their knowledge and their skills, save a few lives here and there. This is northern Nigeria, so no doubt the work of this Boko Haram again. Kill the foreigners, these doctors, and there is no halfway mark. There is no sort of, well, you know, there might have been other factors at play. No, there is just bad people out there, stupid, ignorant people that sadly we're sharing the planet with at this time. And I don't know how to stop them, but it's Sunday. I don't want to go on. I don't want to leave you with a bad taste in your mouth either. So let's just drop that from now, and we'll pick that thread up another time. What can we do? I did have a conversation with Brian today, and we realized, yeah, the only thing you can do is within your own small circle of friends and acquaintances and day-to-day interactions with fellow human beings, just be nice. And not necessarily nice, but good. Make people laugh. Bring a smile. Like I say, talk to the cashiers. Be friendly to clerks. Do what you can to lighten the other loads, you know, that everybody's carrying, and be a good guy, right? Be a good guy in whatever circle you happen to find yourself in. Oh, God, and here I am, 5 minutes, 2 minutes left, and I don't know how to end this. I guess, okay, back to the 60s, I think it might seem, dude, why are you so hung up on this peace and goodwill shit? It really is a reflection of the times where I grew up. And there was this naive hope for a better world. Naive looking at it now. At the time, it seemed right. And there was this bubble, this window that opened in the late 60s. You know, the summer of love and that time. We really did buy into that. Hey, we can put an end to wars. People can live together. Peace, love, dope, man. flowers for everyone, and it might seem kind of ridiculous now, but it stayed. It's still with me and with a lot of people of my generation, and maybe others younger than me have grown up with cynicism and never had a hope for a better world, and that's why what I'm saying about being so upset about these things happening around the world may seem sort of out of proportion. But no, man. We wanted a better world. We dreamed of one. We hoped for one. I say we, and it was just a pretty weak we, because it didn't last very long. And did we really do anything to change the world, or did we just carry on our lives? And I guess carry on is what we did. And here we are now. So look, winding down, as always, thank you. And, you know, peace and out, man. Stay cool. Stay kind. Have hope. Be forgiving. All those good things. And we'll talk to you next week. Thank you. And bye-bye.